So do you feel like the Christmas spirit has arrived in your part of the world?
I mean, yeah, I guess. We just had our holiday party in our building. Got to stand around and look at people that live in our building, apparently.
Ugly sweaters?
No, it's just, you know, people, free food, right? And I recognize the staff that was there, but there are other people that live in this building, apparently. And normally I just don't make eye contact, so that was a little weird. But, you know, ho, 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 holidays and all that.
That was probably the most uninspired cold open ever.
Well, John, it's cold here. Like, it's I'm not warm. Well, that's the thing.
That's not good. And I am. I'm in shorts and a t-shirt right now.
Yeah, I've been watching a little Narcos Mexico to see the documentary of your current life. Yeah. How's your marijuana field?
It's lush. My kush is lush. So this is episode 88 of Foul Territory Baseball Podcast. Nice. I'm John
Michael Sumpen. Irvin, the Michael Irvin episode.
I was going to say the Dale Earnhardt, or not? Yeah, Dale Earnhardt Jr. episode.
Okay, not Dale Earnhardt though.
No,
ow,
not
my
Dale.
Neck.
Ouch! Too soon. I don't think we have any NASCAR fans listening. Well, maybe we do. But
you know
this
NASCAR
is actually the
is
Albert,
an interesting sport.
This is the Albert Bell episode.
Okay, I'm into that.
Yeah, the Albert Bell episode
gonna,
88.
We're going to chase down some kids with a baseball bat. Is that what we're going
to
do?
Yeah. And I started to do the I'm John Sumple, he's Jed Rigney thing, but we kind of muddled it when you.
Yeah, that's all right.
Come on.
It's Christmas. It's the time of messing things up and forgiveness.
But it's not the show's just not the same without the I'm Jed Rigney.
I'm Jed Rigney.
There we go.
Can we talk about Albert Bell for a second?
Sure.
I was not an Indians fan, obviously, because who would be? But what an incredible hitter that guy was. And then when he did that forearm shiver going into second base, yeah, taking out that second baseman, I mean, look, obviously it's against the rules and any punishment is, but come on. For me, growing up as a kid, that was awesome.
He was the bad boy of baseball back then.
No, he was definitely like, you know, we're going to smoke some cigarettes out behind the gym.
Right.
You know, I like Albert Bell. Like, that's like, you're a tough guy when you're into that stuff. And he was just an incredible hitter, and whatever injuries and bad, you know, relations with
everyone,
with the press, with everyone, really, with other humans. I mean, he's no Milton Bradley. Let's not get out of hand here. No. It's not Milton Bradley situation where he's chasing down his ex-wife and stalking her and whatever. But don't Google Milton Bradley, because it's just the crime stuff is pretty bizarre to read about.
And he played with pretty much every team in baseball, didn't he?
Yeah, well, they all were like, wow, look at that bat. You know, we'll have to see if we can put up with that attitude.
Right.
And then every team was like, no. Can't take this attitude. Another great talent, though.
Yeah,
switch
wasted
hitter,
talent, too.
Power on base. Oof.
Yeah.
Couldn't stop beating up people. Having, you know.
A pleasure in the clubhouse, I'm sure.
It was an explosive bat, right? And an explosive personality.
Yeah. So the hottest of hot stove action happened, I think, before the winter meetings. And then they did heat up a little bit on the final day.
Yeah, it was a really strange
pretty quiet,
right? Yeah. Like, maybe everyone's laying groundwork and, you know, I don't know, playing Fortnite or something.
It seemed awfully quiet. It seemed like the reporters, and I didn't watch anything, but I did keep tabs on the MLB app, and it seemed awfully, you know, like I heard a lot of crickets and saw a lot of stories about rumors.
You know, here's the thing, though. I actually noticed there were less stories about rumors. I was seeing a lot of, like, the same stories. Like, boy, let's talk about JT Realmuto one more time, huh? Like, let's find someone else to talk about, people. But there was no the and I always thought it was a weird thing, you know, all the trade rumors, right? Because, and the free agent rumors. Because, like, why give away your hand? Like, why, what competitive advantage does it give a team to like let information out about who you're interested in. And like the only one who I don't believe is basically Brian Cashman is like, oh no, we're in on everybody. We've got five starting pitchers, but yeah, no, we're still on in on every pitcher. I think he's just trying to run the price up on everyone.
Yeah, but on one side of his mouth, he'll say that we're in on everybody, and then on the other side, he'll say, no, we're good there.
Yeah,
we're all set. We're not going to trade Sanchez. He's our catcher. And then a day later, oh, Sanchez is maybe the full time DH. You know,
right.
And Stanton's a full time outfielder.
Yeah, no. And then he did this. What was his comment? He was like, "We're a fully operational Death Star."
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the implication being from Return of the Jedi, this is a nerd segment of the show here. In Return of the Jedi, it looks like the Death Star is under construction, but it's actually a fully operational Death Star,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, surprises the rebels as they are being picked off in outer space by... Anyway, but the weird thing about this comment, and I hate to drop an actually on Brian Cashman, but the Death Star gets destroyed each time.
Right.
There is not a Star Wars film where the Death Star doesn't get destroyed. That's how, when a Death Star appears, it gets destroyed.
That's a film in the making, I think. The other side of the coin. The dark side. The dark side wins. The Death Star
wins. You know what
would
be funny is sort of like a Death Star, but like The Office.
Yes, that would be great.
Like just, you know, just some functionary, you know, just like some lackeys or just like, I got to clean out the garbage compactor again. Oh, right. Man. You see that weird monster that's down there? I don't even know why that's here. Is it to eat some of the garbage? I don't know. Why would we have that in outer space? It's unclear.
Pitch it.
And then how many of those monsters in the garbage compactor are on the ship? Like, does each compactor get... Because you got to figure in a space station that size, there's got to be at least a dozen garbage compactors, right? Imagine the human waste and trash that's generated by a collection
Death Star
of people.
Full
that,
of people.
But, yeah. Or you know what I would do? I would just have a little porthole, not big enough for a missile, by the way, for a torpedo. And it would just, everything would just leak out into space. Just leak it out.
Mm-hmm.
Someone takes a poop. Right out into space. Don't keep it around.
Yeah.
What are you keeping it around for? Space is huge.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, then there's the incoming TIE fighters. It's just like, oh, man, that was quite a patrol we were on there, huh, Charlie? Oh, yeah, yeah. And then splat right on the front window screen. There's a big old, you know, looks like Dave had lasagna for dinner last night.
Star Wars.
Look, Cashman brought it up, man.
Yeah, he did.
It's baseball related. What else is there? Let's talk about some of the things that did happen.
Did happen. There was, I mean, day three was, I guess day four, five technically, was the biggest news, the three-way trade.
Look, everyone loves a three-way. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm still trying to figure out this trade. So the Mariners got Juan Encarnacion. The Indians got Carlos Santana
back
and Jake Bowers. Yeah, back. Took a year off from the team and got Jake Bowers. And the Indians gave up Encarnacion and Yandy Diaz. And Yandy Diaz goes to the Rays. So the Rays gave up money and Bowers for Yandy Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
How is Yandy Diaz better than Bowers? Is that, I guess
Bowers
that's their
money.
Call. Yeah, better than Bowers and money. Like $5 million, the Rays paying money. And also they signed Charlie Morton, the Rays.
Mm-hmm.
I like this new Rays team. They're like, look, we got 90 wins last year. Let's spend a little money. Let's move some assets around. Because they have a lot of redundant assets, right? Like I think I've talked about how deep their farm system is and mm-hmm. all the great players.
Yeah.
But they do have some redundant assets. Like they have G-Mon Choi at first base DH and also Jake Bowers. And they're both left-handed power hitters with on-base percentage. So you don't need that. And they don't really have a third baseman. They have Matt Duffy, who's more like a utility shortstop guy. He's not like your starting third base. And you remember last year, I don't know if you remember, Yandy Diaz was my deep, deep pull for the Indians for fantasy baseball.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has the hardest exit velocity off the bat of anyone in the league besides Aaron Judge.
Really?
The only problem is his launch angle is not good.
It's flat?
It's a little flat, so he's a little bit of a ground ball machine. But if you could just get that up a little bit higher, this guy could be a monster. And the Rays are thinking he's going to be a monster. Obviously, they gave up Jake Bowers. Was
and
a
money, yeah.
Top, Bowers was like a top 40, top 50 prospect.
How do you grade the trade overall for each team?
I'm still trying to figure it out. It sounds like the Mariners basically swapped Santana for Encarnacion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason why the Indians like that trade is per year it's less, right?
Right.
Santana is less per year, and then for the Mariners, it's less overall value, money, because it's just Encarnacion just has this one last year.
Yeah, and I think the way they're looking at it is that they're going to be competitive in 2 years, and they could afford bringing a bat like that in keeps them. I don't know. Put some fans in the stand, maybe.
I think they might trade him. There's already rumors he might be traded to the Rays.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you know, whatever, rumors. But still, like, what do they need? If they only have him for one more year, why Why not trade him for literally even just a lottery ticket, you know? Eat the whole contract.
And did you hear that Jerry DePoto made that trade from a hospital bed?
I did. Yeah. Nothing will stop the man. Rain, sleet, nor snow.
Stop. Nonstop.
Guy's going to be making trades from beyond the grave.
It's becoming a little bit of a sideshow, though. It's a little bit of a distraction when Jerry DePoto's the biggest news in Mariners baseball.
But right now, I mean, it's a little bit of a distraction from the fact that they've just completely dumped this team. I think it might be what the fans...
Yeah, but I also look at his, too. When he came on board, the moves that he made in his first 2 years were supposed to deliver a winning... franchise around Robinson Cano. That didn't work, so he's like, well, back to the drawing board type of things. Like,
but he didn't sign Cano, did he?
No, he tried to build around him.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the right call. That's what, remember the Padres, remember A.J. Preller did that?
Yeah, it was a disaster.
He was like, no, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a big run, and it was like, you just made your team worse. Like, they acquired all these players, and like every trade they made was a net negative, They traded away like really good. Remember, they gave Yasmani Grandal to the Dodgers for Matt Kemp, and then now everyone's. So I think everyone in the league pays Matt Kemp now, right?
Right. I think four teams are paying him right now.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. And then he might be traded to another team this year. The Dodgers are shopping him and Puig.
I thought for sure that trade was going to go down during the meetings. The Puig got to the Indians, and Kluber to the Dodgers.
And then the Dodgers throw in, what, like one more player, like Alex Verdugo or something like that?
Yeah. That was, I thought that was happening. I thought that was going to be one of the bigger headlines. But
may
I guess
still happen.
For all the hype that goes into the winter meetings, which is always exciting because you're hoping something's going to happen, and a lot happened, but nothing blockbustery. But that just means there's more to happen, you know, in the coming weeks.
I mean, should we really be surprised, John? They call it the winter meetings, but they take place in the fall. It's kind of a lie to start with, you know?
And in Vegas.
Look, if you're starting to date someone and they start off with lies, look, it's just going to be more lies.
More lies, right. Covering lies with more lies.
That's right.
So the biggest news out of there from a signing perspective was Andrew McCutchen.
I like the signing. Name. I think they overpaid him a little bit, but I like this signing for the Phillies. I think this is a much better signing than them getting Harper.
Well, they're still
balance
in on,
it out.
They're still in on everybody, apparently.
They're still in on everybody. Yep, I know. And I think they're the favorites to get Machado. I think that's just because I think they'll go crazy for him with the money. I think they'll just be like, oh, do you need more? Okay, here's more. I see them getting Kimbrel and Machado.
And Kimbrel wants $100 million.
Well, he's gonna get what, like 85 over 5 or 6 years, like.
But
what's Jansen getting?
It's 86, something like that.
86 over 5 years, right?
Yeah. But Kimbrel's his starting point that was thrown out last week going into the winter meetings was $100 million. He wanted to have the seven figure. Seven,
well, that's another thing that Craig Kimbrel and I have in common, because that's my starting point, John.
But I mean, to me, that's a crazy money for someone who's on the backside of his best years.
Yeah. I mean, he's right now. I mean, that was a terrible playoff performance by him. I mean, he didn't blow any saves, but his ERA was ridiculous.
Sure. Yeah.
And it was not like close. And maybe it was just Cora, you know, shouldn't have been bringing him in early. Kimbrel really is one of those one inning guys. It's unfortunate, but everyone is hoping their guy's going to be Mariano Rivera, you know, or and be able to do those six out saves. And just, it's such a, you can't count on people on closers to do that. They're just used to the three outs, you know.
Did you see that Cash said that the Rays were going into 2019 with the opener mentality, save for, you know, two, three people now? Three.
Well, yeah, they have three starters, and then they're going to do openers for the other guys. And, you know, I think the opener thing can stick around a little bit, especially, you know, for the fourth and fifth starter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially for the fifth starter. Because, yeah, why not take that little bit of whatever edge off the, you know, get the first, the top of the lineup out of the way for the long guy.
Yeah. So let's see what else we got here. Oh, Billy Hamilton, big signing for the Royals.
Right. Signed with the Royals. How perfect. I couldn't even believe, like, yes, Ned Yost and Billy Hamilton separated at birth. Low on base percentage. Like, he's going to put him right at the top of the lineup and just be like, God, just give us all the outs. Doesn't matter.
Right.
Give us all the outs. And him and Whit Merrifield. I just called him Mitt Merrifield.
Is that a politician?
It is not. It is not. But it sounds like a good name for a politician. But the two of them, they're going to steal 100 bases. Between the two of them. Yeah. But remember Ricky Henderson used to steal 100 bases himself? Those days are gone.
Those days are long gone. Long gone.
And then the Yankees signed Hap, right? Re-signed Hap, right?
Yep. Which was
a solid move.
Yeah, it was widely expected.
He pitched really well for them in the regular season.
7-0.
He pitched really well.
Or 7-2? 7-2, I think it was.
He's one of those guys where I just can't believe him. And in fantasy baseball, I do pretty well in the fantasy baseball.
Yeah, you've had your fair share of good fortune.
But I cannot believe that he's a good pitcher, and I stay away from him almost at all costs. Though in yours and my league, I did trade for him down the stretch. I traded away a Dodgers pitching prospect for him. And then I just traded him away. He wound up, someone wants to keep him, so I traded him for a draft pick. Anyway. No one cares about this, Jed, so John, go ahead and delete that whole section.
So there's still the...
Oh, yeah, tell me more about your fantasy baseball team. Oh, yeah.
Who are your keepers?
Oh, yeah, who are your keepers? Okay, yeah. And what kind of contracts you got those guys on? Oh, yeah, I'm really interested in what you are doing. Here's the thing, though, John. I actually would be interested in someone else's fantasy baseball team.
There are people out there probably going, yeah, tell us more. Who are your keepers?
Wait, what kind of – you keeping him on – it's a $1 contract? Oh, yeah, you got to keep him. I couldn't agree more.
Right. So that would be a great reality TV show.
Oh, yes. Couldn't agree more. I actually came up with a great idea for a TV show that's so great I won't even tell you.
Mm.
It's a great idea for a TV show, and if I can't get it made, someone else will make it in the next 2 years, and I will be sitting at home cutting myself with sharp objects going, see, that could have been my show.
Is it sports themed?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Anyway, just big mystery for everyone out there. Sorry, not going to tell you. I want listener Joe in Pennsylvania to go like, hey, that is a great idea. And then he goes down to the local TV station, pitches it, becomes a millionaire.
Right.
Builds a Death Star, has trouble with the plumbing.
Yeah, my favorite thing about that scene in the garbage dump is the fact that there's, what, 6-7 inches of water? And Luke goes completely under. How does that happen?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's urine. Now, when you watch that scene, you have to understand that that's urine.
Okay.
Yeah. Because that's.
I can smell that already.
Yeah. I'm just saying, it makes the scene more complete to think, oh, it's stormtrooper urine. Okay. That makes sense. And this monster lives in stormtrooper urine.
Wow.
Something to think about.
I think that's going to be the headline for the podcast post. Stormtrooper urine.
Listen up. We've got trade rumors and Stormtrooper urine. It's a good fantasy baseball team name.
I'm going to change my name to Stormtrooper urine. That's good. So the Nationals, even though they say they're out on Lerner, Daddy Lerner, or no, I guess it was the son. The son says they're out.
Right.
And Boris says, no, they're not really out.
But they are. They gave their money to Patrick Corbin. They don't have $24 million a year to Patrick Corbin and then get Harper, a player that positionally they don't need, nah, he's out. They're just Boris lies. Boris, and then Boris tells John Heyman lies, and then John Heyman goes puts him out on Twitter as if he didn't hear it from Scott Boris. It's right. Part of the game.
Right.
It's part of the offseason game.
But he's building, they're out. He's building. Boris is building. Has this like 108-page book on Harper and why teams will get value from him far beyond what happens on the baseball field. He's
right.
An icon. He's something to build your marketing and promotion machine around.
Right.
He's,
does it have
he's
pictures of like Albert Pujols and Prince Fielder and Jacoby Ellsbury and Matt Kemp? Bryce Harper could be these guys for your team. 3 years from now, you could be thinking, how do we get rid of this $30 million a year contract?
Right.
Can we trade him for Jacoby Ellsbury?
Now, it's going to be interesting, though, because, you know, will he get the big money and kind of sit fat and happy, or will he go out and say, I earned it, and show everybody he could have, not that he had a horrible year. I mean, he had a productive year.
He had a bad first half year of the year. His second half of the year. And again, they also had him in center field.
Yeah, not his position.
No, don't put him in center field. This thing where you just put him in center field. Like, as soon as you see the guy can't actually play the position, you need to take him out of there because it's going to start to lower his morale.
Mm-hmm.
I always played better overall when I was in a position that I was good at.
Right. And, yeah, enjoyed and not worried about, am I going to look foolish out here.
Oh my! If I make an out, I got to go back out onto the field.
Right. So there. What other rumors are swirling around?
Well, there's the Real Muto stuff, right? And then there's
nonstop.
Harper. The White Sox are on the list for Harper for Harper and Machado.
I like one or both.
I like the White Sox getting Machado. I don't think the White Sox is a good fit for Harper. I think Harper needs to go someplace where he's going to be a star on a good team.
Yeah, but
I don't think Machado cares. Machado comes from the Orioles. You know what I mean? Like, he knows.
But here's the way I would look at it, though, is that the White Sox, where they are and how much young talent they have in the organization, mm-hmm. which is boatloads, they're going to have guys that are going to come up in the next 2 years that are going to be controllable assets for 5 years after that.
Yeah,
so
you
got a 7-year run, and he's going to sign a 10-year.
You're telling me that a millennial like Bryce Harper is thinking like, yeah, in 3 or 4 years, I'm going to be on a good team.
But he comes
from a winning team. He comes from the Nationals.
Yeah, but the way I look at that is that if they appeal to his ego, is that you can be the guy that everybody builds around. You could be that, because he's going to sign a 10-year contract. You want to sign a 10-year contract, play for a team for 3 years in a window, and then see that window close, and then, you know, toil in obscurity or on a losing team, or be on a team that has a 7-year really bright future. I think that I would find that somewhat appealing, and he would be the man.
He would be a man.
The man. But, the Real Muto stuff, what did you think of the three-way
The asking price is too high. First of all, I think this whole Noah Syndergaard's getting traded by the Mets is, I don't know where that came from and why the new GM is letting that float around. They are not going to trade Noah Syndergaard. There's no package available because this is a team that considers itself a competitive team.
Mm-hmm.
It's a they think they're a contender. And you know what? Frankly, they kind of are. If you add like one more really good piece to this team, they might be the favorite to win the division.
Mm-hmm.
Like projection wise, just on the numbers alone,
right.
They could be the favorite. Like, they're already projected to win like 86 games, and that's an 8-win improvement over last year.
That's huge.
So that's a pretty. He's done some good moves, but there's no way they're giving up Syndergaard for what? They're positionally, they're covered. The only thing that's kind of a question mark right now really is center field. Go get A.J. Pollock.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. There's your 88-win team. Now you're at least considered a favorite to make the playoffs in the National League.
Right.
But then you give away Syndergaard, and then what? Also, why not just sign Wilson Ramos as a catcher? Like, I don't understand. J.T. Realmuto is not like Johnny Bench. It's not like, wow, this guy is so much better than everyone. Like, he's a very good catcher. All-star.
Right. Incontrollable for 2 more years.
But only 2 more years. You could right. sign Wilson. And, like, it's not like he's going to be cheap.
No, no. So the money nets out in, like, 3. You know, if you're going to sign him, you have to sign him, you know, obviously. And then.
I would say Wilson Ramos, Yasmani Grandal. You get Yasmani Grandal, and then you get. They already have 2 catchers there.
Right.
Boom. There's your. Boom. Now you're an 88 win team with Yasmani Grandal. I just think all this Real Muto stuff is ridiculous. The players that they're asking for, like 2 top prospects from the Braves, and like, come on, who are you kidding?
We'll see.
It's just 2 years of control. That's the thing.
As the Real Muto turns.
Yes.
Let's see. Okay. Any other baseball stuff? Any other rumors flying around?
Well, I mean, there's the signings like, AJ Pollock, and there's still, still a couple of good pitchers available, right? Keuchel's probably the next to go now that Hap's off the board, mm-hmm. right? Keuchel probably might wind up with Philadelphia.
What did you think about Joe Kelly flipping over to the Dodgers?
Well, apparently. we have a piece up on the site went up this morning. The Red Sox just don't have money.
Mm-hmm.
They were already maxed out, and they won the World Series. And like, well, why do you need to double max out? And everyone's getting pay raises, including Joe Kelly would have gotten a pay raise to stay. But, like, he's from Southern California. The Dodgers need relief pitchers. They probably still need another one. One of these lefties, maybe, Andrew Miller. Like, they need relief pitching really bad in L.A. And I think it's a good signing. I mean, I'm not a big Joe Kelly guy because as great as that playoff performance was, and he'll never lose that, in regular season he gives up runs.
Mm-hmm.
Throws 100 miles an hour, but, you know. Goes off the bat 120, so.
That's true. So about the big news in the, I guess it's more in the baseball world, given the commitment that Kyler Murray has offered, is he's a baseball guy. Wins the Heisman Trophy, and the next day says, I'm playing baseball.
Yeah, and I think my guess is this. He was always going to be playing baseball, right? Because he had a contract. Like, the contract says he's going to play baseball, so he doesn't want to, and it's like for money.
Right.
It's a contract involving money. But I think that he was letting the football stuff linger to win the Heisman Trophy, because I think that's the sort of thing that a voter might say, oh, well, if I have to choose between this great player, what's the Tua, the guy right. in
Alabama.
If I have to choose between Kyler Murray and Tua, well, Tua wants to stay in football, so let's give him the award.
Right.
But after so he fact, let it linger.
Right.
Yeah. And it was immediately afterwards, like, yeah, no, I'm going to play baseball.
Right. So he will be reporting to spring training camp in a month and a half.
Guy's a monster. He crushes power. He's very similar to Chris Davis, actually, for the Athletics. Mm-hmm. So, And he could be close. I think he's not necessarily one of these guys who's got to go through 4 years of the minor leagues to be up. So we'll see.
We will see, John.
So the rebuilding Orioles from basically the ashes up.
Yes.
They burned that place to the ground, torched everything. So they named Brandon Hyde as their next manager. And my initial reaction when I read that was, Brandon who?
My first thought was, well, I hope he's bringing Dr. Jekyll.
He's going to probably have more Jekyll moments than Hyde moments.
That Orioles team is definitely a Jekyll situation.
Yeah, it's not good. They're no monster. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I like the moves that they made last year, but it was all just sort of like, you guys should have seen this coming. And I think the biggest problem for the Orioles has always been that Showalter is such a good manager.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It sounds like a weird problem to have. But he always kind of made him look good. Mm-hmm. And then, whatever, the last 2 years, like, oh, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't have given $400 billion to Chris Davis. Maybe we shouldn't have bid against ourselves on that guy where no one else was offering him more than 70. And we gave him, what was the number, 160?
Yeah.
Over 6 years? Oh, it's such a stupid, stupid contract.
And you can't manage around that.
Yeah. And, then... the pieces start falling apart. They don't develop pitching. Orioles are notorious for not being able to develop pitching. And the free agent pitchers they signed are always like sort of the bottom of the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still spending money on them. Like Alex Cobb last year, that was a why would you sign
Wade Miley the year before? Yeah, they're like,
yeah, this is not
moves.
A team that needs these players.
Right.
You know, sign a $5 million guy like for a year, you know, just cycle through. And I don't think they ever gave in to the fact that they were actually a rebuilding team because of Showalter, because Showalter was able to extract so much blood from the stone. So
yeah,
to speak.
He was probably a 5-7 win coach.
Oh, yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
You know, the type of person.
I've always hated him for it, I'm going to be honest with you.
Let's see, what else we got here? The Mets hired Chili Davis as their hitting coach. I'm assuming is this just a news item, or do you have a thought on that?
I'm going to be honest with you, John. I think that's a copy-paste error. That was just something I was copying something else, and that got in there. So
oh.
I don't care.
You don't really care?
So I will say my wife has started cooking chili.
Oh, is it good? It's a great,
it's fantastic
winter, cool weather, cold weather.
John, it's
meal.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it makes you feel all warm inside.
And here's the best thing about chili is you got to make like 42 gallons at once, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so like there's chili for days afterwards.
And it's always better the next day, I think.
And it's always better the next day. It's
gets
crazy.
That coagulation going on,
yeah.
A little thicker, a little
molecular harder. Synergy or whatever.
Whatever
it's fantastic.
Goes on, right. It's like lasagna. Lasagna's always better the next day.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't cook it right, you know, and you cut it the first night after it's cooled for a little bit and it runs all over your plate, you're like, yeah, this was a failure. And then you're like, oh, but tomorrow it won't be. Tomorrow
hey, you see
it
the,
will be
did
good.
You see this report about stadium food, by the way? I was thinking, like, why are we talking about food when it's a baseball podcast? And, of course, as if that matters to us. But then I was thinking, like, yeah, no, there's food at stadiums. And this report about they found slime, rats, and roaches in the food at stadiums. I will never eat. I've never even thought about that. Oof. I will never eat at a stadium thing ever again. Ever again.
I would rather swim in stormtrooper urine.
Maybe that's the secret ingredient.
They just, you know, ship it down from the Death Star.
They just got some sort of pod outside the Death Star collecting all the debris.
I thought you were going to say that it was only at Citi Field, and then we'd be like, well, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Well, it was certainly the Coliseum.
Oh, absolutely.
But that's by choice.
Yeah. Would you like a little bit of fecal matter with your hot dog?
Would you like extra slime?
Oh, that's a report. I'm not going to be looking forward to
pretty gross
anytime soon. No.
Here's the thing. Go to a baseball game. Go to a football game. Enjoy yourselves. Don't eat the food. You'll make yourself sick.
The only time I ever eat a hot dog is at a baseball game. Because there's
they
just
do taste
something
better.
That goes. Yeah. It's just. And it's especially, I used to go to a lot of opening days when I was a Marlins season ticket holder. I always went to opening day. And
were there ever seats available?
There were, plenty usually.
He said sarcastically.
That was usually their biggest turnout.
I'm sure.
Of the
I'm
year
sure.
was opening day.
Yeah. Yeah.
1 year, I think it was the
2000. That and cocaine night.
I think the 90.
Rest in peace, Jose Fernandez.
Right, cocaine night. Oh, boy. Sad.
Look, a sad loss, but at the same time, kids, don't do cocaine and ride speedboats.
No. Lessons to be learned.
Yeah.
Lessons to be learned for sure. Let's see. Okay, this has been a point of contention and debate, and you know, the social media was just blew up after the Legends committee selected their all-star.
Yeah.
Lee Smith, slam dunk.
The Today's Game
collection
of doofuses and
but it's only
old
12.
Friends of
it's only like 12 or 14
yeah it's
people,
12
right?
guys
yeah
and they, half of them played with these people.
He's a good guy.
I'm gonna give him my vote. Like, you do that and next thing you know, Harold Baines is in the Hall of Fame.
And even Harold
I don't even
Baines
know if he belongs
surprised.
In the Hall of Very Good. Like, he's a good hitter ish I mean, the great news for Edgar Martinez is just stay alive,
slam
dude.
Dunk,
you're in.
Man. He's a slam dunk. He should get 90.
I'm thinking now Fred 90%. McGriff's going to get in. Yeah. I'm like, who is it going to get
Brady
in?
Brady Anderson.
John, I almost got in this year.
But Bain said
Brady
he was surprised.
Anderson. Let's get Luis Gonzalez in there. Remember,
he
had a good year
he had
once.
A good year. He won the World Series once.
So crazy.
Yeah, but I
Baines is surprised.
I remember
of course
Baines,
he was. It's
Baines
crazy.
Was a, he's one of those, like, you know, 290, 20 home runs, 75 RBI guys consistently in his heyday, in his prime.
No, it's a joke.
Yeah.
It's a joke that he's in the Hall of Fame. Not that it really matters because it's the Hall of Fame and who cares, but, like, let's just have a standard. Not whether or not the guy was a good guy or a bad guy. Because, like, by this standard, like, Albert Bell's in, man.
Well, it's longevity, too. He had a 20-year career, didn't he?
Yeah, but that's all the worse.
Because those numbers.
He put up, he was there for 20 years, and his numbers are still like, eh.
Yeah.
Lee Smith, I can understand, right?
Yeah, he because was unanimous by the 12-person committee.
The thing about Lee Smith is he wasn't, like, a great pitcher, but he was a great collector of saves.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great saver, which is more contextual, right? But at the same right. time, he was great at it. And I can see a committee of 12 people going like, yeah, you know what? We're
in
starting to put
time,
closers in the bullpen,
sure. yeah.
in the Hall of Fame. We're trying to get a little more recognition for the bullpen. The shame about this is this should have just been Mariano's year in terms of closers. It should not be Mariano and Lee Smith. I mean, this is like, this isn't apples and oranges. This is like apples and like dried up prunes on the side prunes. Of the road. Right. Yeah, like this is not even anything remotely close.
No.
And like that's a Hall of Famer,
right.
Mariano. I mean, the guy's a machine until he was 44, right? Or 43?
So who's going to be the jagoff that doesn't vote for him?
And there's going to be at least three, right?
Right.
Oh, Babe Ruth didn't get in on the first ballot, so right. blah, 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 blah. Like, yeah, okay, guy.
He should be the...
Welcome to 2018, buddy.
Yeah, he should be the first unanimous person elected.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
Kind of thought
you know
Griffey
when we're
going to
get the first unanimous? The first unanimous we're going to get when all the ballots are public. That's when you'll get the first unanimous.
Because you don't want the scrutiny.
Because like you're not going to be. I'm not going to be the guy that gets. Because the guys that are doing it, like you don't know who they are.
Right.
For
the
most
only
part.
Ones that you know about are the ones who share their ballot.
Right. And like some guy do it. You know, some guys do it so they can be like an edgelord and be
right.
like, no,
here's who I voted
for. I actually don't think that Jeff Bagwell was that great because. Someone said that he might have done steroids, and I believe that person because that
right.
person also recommended a pizza place nearby, and it was delicious.
Right, and I love the guys who are like, well, I don't have 12 names. I could only come up with seven, so that's all I'm voting
right.
for.
I could it's only like, come up
on.
With seven.
It's like that
I come up with
nuts.
18 every year. Let's clear out some of these names, for crying out loud. Yeah. There's some Hall of Famers on this list.
The fact that Edgar Martinez is in his final year is an absolute joke.
That's ridiculous.
It's a joke.
Oh, but he didn't play defense. Yeah. He didn't play defense, John. Okay. And Lee Smith is going in. All right.
And David Ortiz will be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He should be.
He should be, and so should
it's
have
a resume,
Martinez.
Man.
Yeah.
The greatest player. Martinez should be in.
Yeah.
The guy, his hitting numbers are incredible.
The last time I checked, the DH position has been a position since the early 70s. So, yeah, why is that not considered a valid position on a team for Hall of Fame consideration? It should be. You can't knock somebody for delivering in the role they were asked to play.
Right, and half these people, too, that are complaining that, like, oh, well, he didn't play defense, and then these are the same people who completely discount wins above replacement, which includes defensive metrics, because
mm-hmm.
they're like, well, defensive shouldn't really count into a player's blah, 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 blah. The guy was a monster hitter. Like, not like, oh, he was very good. You know, this isn't Harold Baines. This guy was like, the on-base percentage and slugging together were just out of this world.
Right.
He should be in the Hall of Fame. Anyway, so he might not, but then we know 5 years later he gets to go in through
the right.
Today's Game Committee.
Right.
As long as he gives them reach arounds or whatever it takes, you know, for that committee to be like, I did like playing with Edgar. Yeah, good old Ed. Ed was a buddy of mine. All right.
He's in.
And you know what? You know who else I really like? Bobby Bonilla. I like Bobby Bonilla. Bobby Bonilla bought me a beer once. Put him in the Hall of Fame. All right.
Well, let's get back to the stormtrooper urine. There's a story here about the Rays, who got
yes.
basically shamed by the commissioner for their unthorough presentation for a stadium in the Ybor
right.
City District. He basically
yeah, and so then
undressed
yeah.
them in front
yes.
of the public on that one.
And now they're stuck. They're not. They can't negotiate with Ybor City now, right?
Right, yeah.
And like they're stuck in Tropicana Field. You want to talk about a fully operational Death Star?
Right.
That's Tropicana Field.
Yeah, that place is. I haven't been there. I know people who go there and say they were there for the baseball, not for the environment. But it's
the worst place in America to watch a baseball game. Like, you know where the better place to watch a baseball game? A prison yard.
Well, the owner in the concession speech, I guess, after Manfred's undressing of them in a press release or whatever it was, the hour it got out, was that I guess we need to start thinking about where we're going to play in 2028. It's like, really? They got a 3-year window. They were granted a 3-year window by St. Petersburg to negotiate for a facility outside of that area in Tampa Bay area. And that window closes, I think, the end of the month or early next month.
Yeah.
And they got nothing. And they're locked. They're locked in.
Amazing.
They weren't even allowed to talk to any other areas outside of St. Petersburg in the initial agreement. And they were granted that window and did not deliver a win. How can you not deliver a win when you have 3 years?
Because you're the Rays. The answer is because you're the Rays.
And they said that one of the Manfred's biggest issues was that he wasn't sure if the public had bought into the idea of a stadium there. It's like, when has the public ever bought into a stadium being built in a place that they, you know, most people are like complaining about? There's always going to be a not in my backyard crowd.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of sad because I think there is a really good chance the Rays will be gone from Tampa.
You know, honestly, no one cares about that. That's the thing. That's the one team in baseball where no one would care.
Right.
Like, honestly, John, if the Rays moved to Albuquerque or San Antonio or Portland or North Carolina, who would care? No one would care. No one goes out to watch that team.
Right. They're like, oh.
It was a bad idea to put a team there. That's all. It happens. Bad ideas happen.
But they've been there for a long time.
Have you been following Trump at all? Anyway. Bad ideas happen.
Okay, let's see what else we got here.
Donald Trump's our president.
Yeah. Still?
Yeah. Still. six more years to go.
Let's see. Larry Doby.
Yeah.
The first.
Happy birthday, Larry Doby, by the way.
Is it today?
Yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah.
He was the first black player in the American League, followed by Jackie Robinson in the National League.
Yeah.
And a bill has been passed to honor him on a stamp. How are they going to honor him?
You know, just I think it's like a day. It's Larry like a commemorative day. Larry Doby Day. Yeah.
I like that. That sounds like a song.
Yeah.
Larry Doby Day.
Doobie doobie doo.
Doby Day. Doby Day.
Isn't there a Harry Potter character named Doby? Dobby. Yeah. Doby? It's like a little elf guy.
Could be.
Anyway.
So Sunday Night Baseball is moving up an hour. Was that?
Yeah.
Because the kids were saying we want to be able to watch the entire game.
I'm not sure what the full logic is behind it, but like mixing things up a little bit.
So instead of starting at 8-ish, it's going to be 7-ish?
Yeah, it'll be 7-ish, which is 4 o'clock on the West Coast. And maybe they're just like, you know what? There's just not as many people on the West Coast, so kind of who cares? I don't know. But worth a shot, right?
Let me ask you a question now that you've been, you know, occupied space on both coasts. Don't you love the West Coast for watching sports, though?
Oh, there's no better place in the country regionally than the West Coast.
Yeah.
Because you wake up on Sunday.
And there's football.
And football is about to start at 10 o'clock. It's about to start in an hour.
Right.
Whereas you wake up on Sunday on the East Coast and it's going to start in about 4 hours.
Yeah,
and so you have to, like, do stuff. And talk to people.
You have a reason not to go to church.
Run errands and go to not church, and worship at your pagan altar or whatever it is you do on Sundays. Go get some bagels.
Now they had a place in Seattle at the Fox Sports bar when I first moved out there, and they used to have the place would open up at 8 o'clock, and you could do. They had a big, huge brunch thing, and you show up there at by 9. And the place was packed with people wearing jerseys.
Yeah.
And they had, it must have had 30 TVs easy, and each, they would designate spaces within each room. It was a big place. And you would have fans of that team hanging out in that area watching that game. It was awesome. It was so cool.
So in, like, in one room, it's like Gryffindor.
Right.
And then the other room is
Stormtroopers.
Hufflepuff. And then you got the Stormtroopers.
Waiting in urine. So this is probably the biggest news of the baseball and political world this week. Jose Canseco is throwing his name into the ring to be Trump's chief of staff.
Look, no one wants this job, right? I'm not saying it's a glamorous position and I would want it because I certainly don't want anything to do with it. But this one in particular, because there's always a lot of turnover on chief of staff, right? Like every president goes through, you know, whatever, three or four or even five if you get to 8 years, right? So it's very common for the chief of staff to cycle out. But, like, who wants to go there? No one. Why not Jose Canseco?
Sure.
Why not? They've worked together before on The Apprentice.
Yeah.
Right? Plus, Canseco gets in there. He's got everyone doing roids.
Right.
Right? And the thing you definitely want coming out of the White House is roid rage. Because things aren't weird enough coming out of there.
Right.
You definitely want to get everyone amped up. You know, pumping iron and, you know, getting zits on their back and rage screaming at people. I want Sarah Sanders to come out with like an 8-pack abs and just like take Jim Acosta and rip his arms off of his body.
And beat and someone else to death.
And then
them.
Beat someone else to death with those arms. That would be, see, that's the White House episode, season three we need.
Right.
You know?
Okay, let's move on to starting nine. No movies coming out this week. Well, there are, but not worthy of starting nine-ish behavior. But for the holiday season, nine players with Christmas movie names.
Yes. And let's also take a moment here to talk about, these are some of my favorite. And I think I almost have these in sequence. Yeah, no, I put them in sequence. All right, so active baseball players, holiday films in sequence, top. We're going to do 10 here. We're going to do the starting 10. Nine plus a DH.
Okay.
Homer Alone Bailey.
Okay. Wow, that you started off strong.
Yeah. That's to me, one. That's number 10.
Okay.
That's number 10. Next one, Mike Love Actual Leak.
Oh, very good.
Mike Leak. Now, some people think Love Actually is a trash movie.
I love
and
it.
And some people think it's one of the great holiday movies.
Watch it every
And I'm
year.
Here to tell you, it's both.
Yeah.
It is an absolutely trash movie that is poorly written, poorly edited, poorly conceived, and I think it works on every level. And I think Bill Nye is one of the single great performances in all holiday filmdom.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Now, this is a great film, but I can't watch it as much as I've watched many of these others. The Starling Night Marte Before Chris Masahiro Tanaka. So The Nightmare Before Christmas, Tim Burton. It's, once you see it, you see this is a great piece of film, but it's hard to rewatch.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have that rewatchable quality, but I do consider it to be a great piece of film.
It's a piece of art.
It's a great piece of art. Yeah. Exactly. Next is, it's a short film title, so I picked a short name player name, Josh Belf. It's a solid movie.
Yeah.
You know? Solid movie. It's, what's his name? John Favreau, right?
Sure.
Solid director. He's mm-hmm. got that Ron Howard-ness to him. It's like, oh, good solid work. You're not breaking new ground. You're just doing the solid work.
But it's Will Ferrell. You know,
it's Will Ferrell and it's he's perfect in it.
Yeah.
And you know what's weird though is James Caan. If you mm-hmm. look closely at his performance, a little odd. And what I speculated was, you know, he's getting older, whatever, and he was older at the time, but it looked like he was actually in pain. This is something you don't think about with actors, is like that they have human bodies.
Right.
He's and like there are times you. Yeah, he looks physically uncomfortable. Like he's kind of hunched weird in some scenes. And anyway, something to think about next time you're watching that really good holiday film. Next up, The Muppet Christmas Carolus Chapman.
Okay. Uh-huh. That's
Muppet
one.
Christmas Carol. Chris, a great entertaining film for young and old. Next one, a Christmas Trevor Story.
Okay.
Christmas Story. Some people think that's the best holiday film, and it's very good. You know what? Even if you're like a bitter, spiteful, like, it's on too much and blah, 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 it's a great film. Entertaining on multiple levels.
Next up?
Fred I. Hard Freeman.
Okay. I was wondering if that was going to be up in the number one position.
No, here's the thing. It gets demerits because it's not really a Christmas. It's a Christmas. I'm on the side of it's a Christmas movie because so much about it revolves around Christmas. Mm-hmm. Like the heist takes place because it's Christmas. Mm-hmm. Next one is a Christmas Vacation Doolittle.
Okay.
Chevy Chase. Will there ever be another Chevy Chase? Will the film industry ever let there be another Chevy Chase? Hard to say. It's a Wander Franco Life.
Uh-huh.
Wander Franco, by the way, top 5, top 10 prospect in baseball, 17 years old for the Rays, looking like he's going to be a monster. Get him while you can, fantasy baseballers. Get him while you can. And last but not least, Shinsu Scrooge.
Is that really your favorite? Or is that was the
that's perfect, my favorite.
Is it?
No, that's my favorite. Yeah, that's my favorite. Bill Murray, perfect. Perfect performance. Well written, well crafted. Everything's great about it. Karen Allen, I don't know if she gets the role, if they recast it. If they were like, you know what, who else can we get? Like, maybe we get someone a little different than Karen Allen, but you know what? Good for her. She was in Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, Raiders. Anyway, I don't know why they were putting her in films, but anyway, there's the list.
Awesome. Okay, now it's time to move on to Extra Innings, where we take a look at what's going on outside the world of baseball. And this was kind of like a big news, you know, if you're a sports fan, or at least a sports fan of ESPN from the 90s and early 2000s, is they've announced...
You mean a sports fan.
Right, sports fan. They're going yes. back to the highlight-focused Sports Center shows.
Yeah. Instead of, like, the opinion stuff and the...
The political shows they used to have.
The political shows. They're like, we're watching sports to get away from it. Here's the thing. I was watching the Monday Night Football game after... who is it that was cut recently because of the violence?
Right, Hunt.
Hunt, right? Right. And they did 15 minutes about domestic violence on air.
Hmm.
Like, we all know it's bad. That's why we're watching sports. Don't want to talk to me about sports.
Let's talk sports.
Let's talk about sports when we're watching sports. Not like, hey, did you know domestic violence is still an issue in this country? Yeah, we know. That's why we're watching sports.
Mm-hmm.
And the ESPN subscriptions and ratings have all been plummeting since they pivoted to this thing that just, you don't understand sports if you think that that's what people want. And you may feel you have like a moral obligation to do that, but good. Give that person a half hour show that airs at 3 a.m. Then you've got your moral obligation covered. Show me sports.
Yep. And Keith Olbermann is back. I didn't even know that.
Boy, that guy. Oof. I'm glad they gave him work because I think being unemployed was driving him nuts.
Because he used to do his little podcast or
his little video shows.
Yeah.
Like from his basement, right. And then he'd go freak out on Donald Trump and then be like, the marshal of the Supreme Court is coming to arrest Trump right now. Like, whoa, you guys got some Russia conspiracy theories I haven't even heard of. This is like Alex Jones level stuff. They're going to turn the frogs gay.
I have not seen him again on ESPN. So is he tame? Is he tame from the sense
he's
not politically charged, but he's more into
He is not being unhinged.
He was the best by far in the 90s.
I mean, him and Craig Kilborn and Dan Patrick.
Dan Patrick.
That trifecta of,
right,
of Sports Center guys, just the best.
Very best. Yeah. Those guys launched... Dan Patrick and Olbermann were, I think, rock stars.
Yeah.
You know, back then.
And I think the problem with ESPN was then they replaced those guys with people who weren't. It was just like, oh, no, we'll just get another person who's in a suit. Right. And then people wanted to see the Keith Olbermann comments. They wanted to see they wanted that little snark. They wanted that dry humor from Dan
mm-hmm.
Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
But the guys they just cycled through, I don't know any of them.
I don't know anybody who's on for the last 10 years, easy.
Yeah. You know? I mean, Scott Van Pelt was good. And then after that, it's like, okay, well.
Yeah, there's nobody. Sage Steele is probably the most notable name still there. She does, right. I guess she's doing SportsCenter now at 6 o'clock. Yeah. But, yeah, she's not.
I'm sorry, what's the name?
Sage Steele.
Oh, I thought this was like a Stormy Daniels. I thought you were doing a Stormy Daniels joke. This is a real person?
Real person, yeah.
And this is not a porn star?
Not a porn star.
Sage Steele.
Sage Steele.
Yeah. All right.
And she's not a wrestler.
Mean parents. Or kinky parents, whichever.
So I know we talked. Oh, no, this is different. This is Kendall Jenner. Kendall right. Jenner is 2018's highest paid model.
It just goes to show, John, that if you could have fame based not on anything that you do, and because something your sister did with another gentleman on video, and then you yourself get a lot of plastic surgery, you could be one of the top models on the planet.
I just don't get it. I don't.
It's a true American
family.
Success story.
I don't follow them at all, so.
I do.
I don't even know who can.
I do so that you don't have to. But yeah, no, it's she apparently as a model, she made $22 million last year.
I couldn't pick her out in a lineup.
Right.
I don't know what she looks like.
Right.
I really don't.
She looks like a younger version of the new version of Kim Kardashian.
Is she
like they have the same plastic surgeon. Yeah.
Kylie's svelte compared to the other.
Oh, you mean that way? Oh, I don't know. I'm not some pervert. These are young people, John.
How old is Kendall Jenner?
I don't know. I don't 20s? Look at these things. God, that's too young.
No, I'm just.
It's
I'm
too
just
young
curious.
For me
I don't
to be
know.
Looking.
I don't know how.
It's
old
the restraining order, John.
He's getting close again. Keep an eye on him.
50 yards, sir.
So Kevin Hart had to step down from hosting the Oscars based on something he tweeted several years ago.
Almost a decade ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's paying the price.
Yeah. So now they have to find someone to host the show who not only will draw a crowd and be interesting to watch, but who did not order the fish for dinner. That's an airplane reference.
Yes, it is. It's good.
Right? We got to find someone who knows how to fly a plane, but who did not order the fish. All right. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, too bad for the Oscars.
It would have been great.
And yeah. I think they would have been fun to watch him do a whole thing up there. But you know what? Like that's.
But apparently I'm insensitive for thinking.
I mean, the guys apologized for it. I think the bigger issue is when people are doing it now, right? Like, who cares if they did it 10 years ago if they're like, yeah, no, that was terrible. I've changed. Okay, good. That's all you want.
Right. But it doesn't work that way. Apparently, if you've said it once before in your past, but you would think that after all these Twitter nightmares that have come up for people, that they would have been anybody in the limelight or wanting to be in the limelight would be going, let's go back and delete shit from my past.
We've talked about this. Like there should be companies that are doing that do this for you. But here's the other thing. Because it got posted to the internet, technically it can be archived. And so someone could dig into the archives
and find
it. And even if you delete it, it's still there. Or someone has a screen capture of it. It's
it existed.
And so maybe the idea is just like, well, just let it be. And he's a comedian. No one's going to give him a hard time. Like, well, he made gay jokes. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. But
he's a
like,
comedian.
How does he?
You know?
He's a comedian. Like, also, like, it's not like we're talking about someone who's running for office here. We're talking about someone whose job
apparently.
It is to try to say funny things.
Right.
Anyway, just keeping the black man down. Typical Hollywood. We're going to have a black host to the Oscars. Wow, that's amazing. Oh, no, he made gay jokes. Oh, well, then he's out.
He's out. Got rid of him.
That's not racist at all, John. That's not racist attitude by Hollywood at all. I feel like other people would be given the benefit of the doubt.
But he stepped aside.
Before, he stepped aside because he was just like, I don't want to deal with this.
Right. He's like, let me get this, like, nip this in the bud.
Screw you guys. Yeah. Screw you guys.
I cheated on my wife. I don't need this, you know, type of headline. So let's nip this one in the bud. Let's see. Kanye West, Drake, what's up?
What's
with
the
those
opposite?
Two?
What's the opposite of nipping something in the bud? That is what Kanye West did. Kanye West posted hundreds of tweets. Now, maybe this guy's got some, you know, mental wellness issues, unclear. But he has decided that he now has a beef with Drake again. And he is he is warning Drake, and it's he's telling he's like, voicing his concern about what Drake might do to him and his family. It's pretty out there stuff. I mean, it's kind of Alex Jones stuff. I know that's my second Alex Jones reference, but it's a little like if rappers had an Alex Jones, Kanye West is probably the Alex Jones of rappers.
But he just makes stuff on the spot. He makes it up on the spot.
Like Alex
Jones. Right.
That's not true. Alex Jones does source it to legitimate things like Reddit.
Right. Well, I heard it from somebody who told me that in good faith that this was true.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's a fun time to be alive.
What's this Russian robot scam? I don't know anything about this.
Did you see the Russians announced they had a new robot, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a walking, dancing, moving robot, except turns out it's just a guy in a suit.
Oh, really? No way.
Like, it's such a funny scam. They pull it. Oh, my God. I don't know what the purpose of the scam was because, you know, whatever. They're
was
probably
it
trying
intentional,
to influence the election.
Or was they trying
to
get
away with
it
was. But I don't know what was intentional about it. Like, there's video of the guy taking off the uniform, but it's not like, or off the costume, but it's not like it was hidden camera footage. It was like, here's him taking
over.
It off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I think of high tech giants, I don't think of Russia.
No.
So that's not going to be my first choice for the first walking, talking, dancing robot.
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
But there were like, there were some red flags. It was like, there's no sensors on it. It kind of moves like a human. It does look like a human could fit inside of it. There was no like research, progress being announced at all. Like we've discovered how to move arms. It was just suddenly they had a robot. And people were like, heck yeah, we got a DA, right? DA.
Right. They're going to blame all the social media scams on the scam robot.
That's right. Who do you think's doing all the Russian trolls?
Right.
It's the robot.
Right. That's why they're building an army of trolls. What's coming up next?
Tune in for the timeless Christmas classic. It's the Major League Baseball winter meetings, Charlie Brown.